Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IFGL Refractories Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal for an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Agarwal, Head of Institutional Equities at SKP Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of IFGL Refractories Limited and SKP Securities to this financial results conference. We have with us Mr. James McIntosh, Managing Director, and Mr. Kamal Sarda, Director and CEO. We'll have the opening remarks from Mr. Sarda, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sarda.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the IFGL Refractories Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call. I hope you and everyone around you is safe and in good health. Along with me on the call for the first time, we have Mr. James McIntosh, our Managing Director. James has been appointed as a Managing Director in September. Before becoming Managing Director, he was our President of our U.S. subsidiary, EI Ceramics and MCI. Also on the call, we have SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. We have uploaded the results and presentation on the stock exchange, and I hope everyone had a chance to go through the same. I will now request Mr. James McIntosh to give a brief overview. Over to you, Jim.
Well, thank you, Kamal. Evening, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to interact with you all for the first time. Let's now share with you the business highlights for the quarter. As we all know, I mean, steel is one of the most recyclable materials in existence. Here in India, our domestic steel production has witnessed very strong demand growth in the past few years, which will continue for the long term. In support of this statement, I think one of the most important metrics is the per capita steel consumption for India, which is 34% of the world average and only 14% of China average. We've also in recent times seen a very strong bounce, as many of the world economies bring back to normal after the last one and a half years have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Again, you all know that refractories are a key product used in the steelmaking process, and therefore we have also witnessed strong demand in our products worldwide. However, at the same time, challenges to the supply chains have caused significant escalation in our costs of raw materials and services throughout the world. This has led us into a situation we were compelled to increase pricing for our products and services to maintain our position relative to these unprecedented increases. Due to the strong relationships we enjoy with our customers, we've got great support worldwide, and I think all of the price increases that we have requested have been granted by the customers, which is a good situation to be in. We would point out that in all of these cases, there is a time lag which exists between the impact of cost increases to the company, the realization of the actions that are required by the company, and the actions that we take. Thus, although our revenue increased on a standalone as well as a consolidated level, as you can see in the figures, our profitability was affected on account of these increased expenses. Some countries fared better than others. We will see a normalization of our profitability levels in the coming months as the price realization that we've requested from the customer catches up with us. Increase in the operating expenses were higher in the overseas subsidiaries as compared to our domestic business due to greater global logistics element in their business cycles. Hence, the negative impact to profitability was higher in those subsidiaries as compared to the domestic business. So to recap, we see a continuing growth in our revenue with an improvement in our income during the coming months and beyond. With this, let me now hand over to Mr. Kamal Sabha for his comments.
Thanks, Tim. Let me give you a short brief on the CAPEX. In FY23, we plan to spend about 10 crores in our Odisha plant and also in our Kandla plant. At Visakhapatnam, the phase one has been where we have already announced a commercial production. Phase two expansion, we are talking of spending about 20 crores and we should be completed by FY23. Our focus remains to complete these CAPEX and projects in a time-bound manner and continue ramping up our existing capacities. We expect the demand for the refractories to be steady and growing with the continuous unlocking of the economy. With the enhanced capacities and new product capabilities, we expect to improve the scale of the business, which will lead to scale benefit and operating cycle playing out in the long term of the company. Let me give you a brief of the financial highlights. On a standalone basis, the total income increased by 8% year-on-year to 196.5 crore. Sequentially, it was down by 2%. EBITDA was down by 19% to 35.1. EBITDA margin stood at 17.9 compared to 23.8% in Q3 corresponding quarters. However, it increased from Q2 FY22 margin of 17.1%. PAT was also down by 29%. On the consolidated financials, our international, which includes our international subsidiaries in the US, Europe, the total consolidated income increased by 6% year-on-year to about 317 crores. Consolidated EBITDA was down by 34%. And consolidated EBITDA margins were at 12.4% in quarter 3 FY22 as compared to 19.9% in quarter 3 FY21. PAT was also sequentially down. With respect to the liquidity positions, we remain net debt free with a very strong cash balance in our balance sheet. Cash balance stood at about 267 crores as of December 2021 on a consolidated level. I think I now leave for any question and answers. Both Jim and I will be happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sarda. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Shubham Agarwal from Equitas India. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Good evening, team IFGL. So my first question is slightly at the macro end. So if we see the Chinese production of steel, which is going down year on year, and they have already mentioned that they can reduce substantially the steel production this year, what I wanted to understand in this context is how does the refractory industry get impacted because of the Chinese refractory players? So there is a hypothesis which says that there may be a huge amount of spare capacity in Chinese player, and because this is not a high power intensive company, they may dump product in various other countries. So I wanted to know, given in context that we are 60% of revenue is global, so how does it impact us, and your views will be appreciated around it.
Jim?
I think that the Chinese refractory companies have been very aggressive for many years in the global scale. Certainly, in most of our markets, there are Chinese refractory suppliers. Our product area, we have a very great advantage at the moment on the performance side of the products. Our objective for the future is to look at ways that we can increase our technology and increase the performance of the products in the future, obviously to combat that. But generally speaking, I would say that the Chinese suppliers are already very, very strong worldwide. I don't think the effect of the Chinese market will be such that it's going to make a major effect on the global scale. I don't. Kamal, what's your thoughts?
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Jim. So on the power front, what you mentioned, it's not so power intensive as far as refractive industry is concerned. But the real impact would be on the raw material side, which I think will be impacting the refractory industry both worldwide, not only in China but also worldwide. But the situation has eased up over the last few months. So the situation is not that bad as it used to be, you know, projected in the month of October, November last year. So the situation has eased up. On the Chinese competition, we don't think that's a competition which we should worry about. That has been there for ages now, and that will continue to remain there. It's only the technology front which will make us different.
Fair enough. So do we have any ADD in US and Europe against Chinese import as of now?
You're talking of anti-dumping duty?
Yes.
Yes. Jim, you... okay.
They do. Yes.
Yeah, they do.
In
okay.
America.
Okay, fair enough.
And
secondly, coming to the raw material part, so how much of our raw material do we import from China?
On a quantity terms, it would be around 50%.
60%?
50.
50. Okay. And the realization, as you mentioned in the opening remark, is dependent upon, you know, the contract with your customer. So what is the time lag between, you know, increasing raw material price and your negotiation with customer and in the current environment?
It depends on a contract by contract basis.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long is the contract for typically?
Depends on customers and countries. They're all different.
It ranges between 3 months to 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how the range is. So that's why. So any new pricing strategy would happen in the new contract only.
Okay.
That's why the time lag we were mentioning about.
Okay. No, why I'm asking this, because one of our competitors reported increase in margin, whereas our standalone margin remained constant. So I wanted to understand when can we, you know, increase our realization to match up with the competition.
So if you look at the competition, they had one of, I don't know whether you've gone through a report by one of the analyst group. Very recently, so they had some one-off transaction. I would not say transaction, one-off income, which has been booked there in this quarter. I don't know whether that was an impact of only this quarter or a cumulative impact from beginning to the end.
Okay,
but that's one of the reasons. I think that's the only thing which I can know of. But having said that, they had always been slightly on a higher margin than ours.
Yeah, but our December consolidated margin was around 11.4% EBITDA level. So, and we have guided for somewhere around 13-14%. So, by when can we achieve that level of margin?
It should be soon. I think, as our managing director mentioned, that the normalcy should soon come when we have all the price increases in place and the cost becomes normal.
Fair enough. Now, coming to the goodwill part, so the process, as we know, is in NCLT. Where have we reached, and when can this transaction take place?
It will take some more time. I am unable to give any kind of time frame. There are some discussions going on with few agencies.
Okay.
It may take some time.
but this will happen now only in FY23, right?
Yeah, yes, yes. Even if you file in this quarter, it will not happen in this quarter.
Okay. And regarding the goodwill of subsidiary, we had taken, I think last year, FY20, 20 crore write-off. So do we expect any further write-off in the subsidiary goodwill part?
No.
Okay. And lastly, on the capacity part, given that we are doing phase 2 of Vizag and recently commissioned phase 1 also, and also we are doing debottlenecking, so out of the entire capex that we have done recently and that we are supposed to do, what is the incremental revenue that we expect out of this in absolute term?
See, it will be very difficult for me to quantify that right now, but as I think I mentioned in my previous calls, that on a greenfield project, you can look at a 3-3.5 times. On a brownfield project, you can always look at 5-6 times.
Okay. Right. Okay. And lastly, on the European and American subsidiary, what was the exact reason for reporting, EBIT level loss in American subsidiary, and when can we expect the normal sales to return?
In America, they were badly impacted by raw materials, and all of the price increases have already been agreed with the customers. We fully expect to see a return in the next quarter.
Next quarter, that is Q4, right?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Abhisar Jain from Monarch AIF.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand, the issues that we might be facing at EI Ceramics, because FY22 till date has been a very rough year at EI, whereas, generally, EI Ceramics has been one of our best overseas subsidiaries with margins in the mid-teen range generally, between 13 to 15% if we look at a long-term track record of that subsidiary. So I believe there were some operational issues, and if you can mention that, whether those are addressed and, by when EI can return to its normal level of profitability.
Yeah, I think that... every country was affected differently by COVID. In some countries, there were certain programs which were initiated by the government to help during the furloughing period of companies. We never furloughed in America at all, but even so, there were programs existing for the general employee base, where I think it's fair to say that the employee base available in the United States has reduced. Many people have decided not to return to the workplace following the period that they've been under the government schemes. So there was some areas where certainly on the manpower side we were affected. In the US, we were heavily affected on the raw material side, and on the price increase side now, I feel that now that we have these in place, we'll see that return again. But it was just affected by, the global situation with, raw materials, freight, it's like a perfect storm almost.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I understand. And sir, so in that context, given that some issues, still persist, in terms of... I'm not sure about the employee availability that you talked about in America and also the freight issues. I think that many of them are...
No, I think they don't exist. I mean, generally, I would say that, as I said earlier on, you know, we fully expect that the next quarter will be returning back to the normal position.
Okay, sure. That's good to know, sir. And then going forward for the next few years, do you expect EI Ceramic to be returning to its normalized margin level that we used to do earlier and through the last decade?
Absolutely.
Okay, sure. So the second thing I wanted to confirm, Kamal sir, is on the Vizag plant. So while we have announced the commercial start and the trial runs, etc., are going on, just wanted to confirm that did we have any revenues from Vizag in Q3, and when do we see the revenues from Vizag in the P&L?
So the dispatches from Vizag continues. So as of today, there is a consolidated order at IFGL level. So all the orders are billed through our Kalunga plant because of GST issues. So we have not taken any direct orders. So all the billings are happening from there. So there is a sales going on. There is a sales going on. Gradually, at a later date, we may shift all the billings because at the customer level, you know, commercial issues happen. So we don't want to, you know, complicate issues. So we are happy billing it from one place. So yes, sales is on a consolidated basis between Vizag and Kalunga.
Right, sir. Okay, understood. And sir, so in that context only, since we have, you know, new plant at Vizag come up, and plus we have been expanding at Kandla and Odisha also in the last 2 years also, apart from whatever you indicated that you will be doing further CapEx in 2023, but we've been doing the CapEx at those two locations in the last 2 years also. So given that, sir, where do you see the domestic revenue trajectory, given that domestic demand remains quite strong from the steel industry, I believe?
I think we will grow with the trajectory only. We'll grow with whatever new capacities get added in India. We'll grow with that, and definitely our target is to grow faster than that.
Okay. And so just last question on this price increase that was part of your opening remarks. So any indication of the quantum that we had to take, and did we also get some hike or some compensation on the freight part? Because one of our peers has been able to get, I understand they may have been able to benefit from their MNC parentage, but does our price hikes also budget for some bit of freight element, because that's been hitting us quite badly, right?
Yeah. So definitely the price hike takes into account the raw material prices, which are hiked on a basic level as well as the ocean freight. So like our competitor has specifically mentioned to you, because they have got, they import a lot of material and sell directly to the customers. So there is a one-on-one, you know, the freight impact. But in our case, we don't have such kind of thing. So which is, the price is includes the ocean freight price increase impacts.
Right. So I just wanted to confirm that, you know, the quantum of price hike, if any indication of a range.
It depends on customer to customer. I think ranging from 10-12% to about 22-23% also we have got.
Sure, sir. Understood. Best wishes, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah. Thanks, Sandisha.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gokul Maheshwari from Aurelia Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So could you comment on the demand trends in the near term from the steel industry? Are you seeing strong demand continuing from your customers?
I'm talking demand.
Sorry? Jim, would you take this?
Yeah, I mean, there's no indication that the steel industry is not going to continue its growth trend. I mean, if you look at the steel in the last 5 years, I think the annual growth rate is somewhere in the region of 4 or 5%, thereabouts. And there's no reason to believe that it's going to be any different there. I mean, obviously, we've seen a massive increase in demand this year relative to last year, just by virtue of the fact that many countries were affected through the COVID situation. But even if you look at the difference between 2019 and 2022 or 21, sorry, you know, you've still got a growth there. So I would say that the demand will continue to grow.
And
especially in India.
Yeah,
I think you know, everybody would agree, and you know, any of the literature that you read, you know, India is clearly rightly identified as one of the major growth areas in the world for steel, and will continue.
Yeah.
Okay. With respect to the competition in the domestic industry, are you seeing any changes in the local competition? Anyone who's getting aggressive or easing of competition, or it remains broadly the same?
So the competition scenario remains the same. There is nothing, no major changes happening.
Okay, great. And just lastly, on the, just wanted to reconfirm, you mentioned about the RM pressures easing off, and the price hikes which have been taken will help you restore your margins, which you've been doing in the past. So it's more like a blip right now.
No, I don't
remember saying that the raw material would ease off. The raw material price increases, we can't say that.
Yeah, we cannot say that.
Okay, because I
don't know if you got a misinterpretation there.
Yeah, because I heard saying that the prices have eased off since October, November, what they were a few months back.
No, that was in a different context, I think.
Okay, fine. So the raw material pressure still continues, but you've taken corresponding price hikes and as the contract renewals are coming up.
Yeah, the raw material pressures are still there. So the corresponding customers are agreeing to give price increases. That's what we said. So the raw material pressure is still there. There is no easing of issues as such.
Okay, great. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gunjan Kabra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. So a couple of questions is, sir, I have been reading that raw material sourcing has been difficult because of supply chain disruption has increased. So what is your sense on this? Like, is the industry consolidating or can we increase, you know, market share going forward like the way we have done in the last 5 years going forward?
I honestly didn't get your question. What you want to know? Sorry.
So I'm asking that raw material sourcing has become difficult after the pandemic or because of supply chain disruption. So is the industry consolidating at the macro level in our country is what I wanted to gain. And can we gain market share going forward like we have done in the last 5 years?
Okay, on the raw material situation, I don't think there is a pressure. There's only a pressure on the logistics part. So availability is still there. Maybe the logistics is getting delayed. You know, the shipment time from China to India it used to be about 20, 25, 30 days. Now it has gone to 35, 40, 45 days. So we are taking care by keeping additional stocks. Okay, so that's there. On the consolidation, I think it's a continuous process. I don't know what more consolidation will happen. I don't have any news as such.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I would agree, Kamal. I think that, you know, supply and demand is obviously what causes prices to significantly change. And, you know, when you have a situation where there is a lack of supply for whatever reason, then the price increases are going to occur in that particular product area. And certainly in raw materials, it's been impacted quite heavily. Hopefully, as freight, you know, starts to release in the coming quarters, then we will see a difference. But I don't get the feeling that there is any end in sight there with regard to changes in the freight, and therefore it would be very difficult for someone to indicate that you know the price or the cost situation with regard to raw materials is going to change significantly in the coming months.
Okay. So I also wanted to ask that we are keen on using the recycled raw material too. So what is the margin benefit that we'll get, and how is the availability scenario there? Like, is it like, do we have access to it, or all companies have access to it? Recycled raw material.
So, see, recycled materials are available, but definitely we cannot talk of the margin impact. But that's a part of the cost structure built into the product. But recycled material are available. I'm not saying you get in a free way, but then you have to do some processing, in-house processing, and then recycle it. But then, yeah, we can get some recycled material.
Okay. But also in terms of outlook, like for next 1 or 2 years, we are seeing that, you know, steel companies are doing a lot of capex, and there's a lot of focus on capital expenditure in our country, or maybe investment cycle. So how do you see the outlook from like 1-2 years going forward for these factories company? Like, what's your take on it?
Personally, the market seems to be very good. The government, okay. You know, this budget, they have announced a huge capital expenditure, one of the highest ever. So I think the market seems to be very good for the user industry, and then resultant that the refractory industry will also get the benefit. So I don't think in the next 1 or 2 years, you know, we should be happy that the government is spending so much, and we have a huge demand of steel coming up. In fact, the government still continues to remain buoyant on the steel capacity expansions as per the national steel policy. So, I think industry should look for a good growth.
And I think from IFGL's point of view, I mean, we have you know, forum groups which are currently analysing and looking at ways we can expand and grow in the future. I mean, obviously there are many factors that have to be taken into account, and you know, in coming quarters, you know, once we have those plans finalized and you know, we can announce them, then we certainly will let you know.
Okay. I think I missed a point in the beginning. So what could be the percentage of raw material increase from quarter on quarter? Like, if you can, raw material price increase.
I don't think we mentioned that. We have not mentioned that. We have not calculated the price impact as such.
It's very difficult to.
Yeah, it's very difficult to assess that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Surbhi Sarawi from Smith Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir. My question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Sanjay from Ratnabali Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, what is the percentage of our high-end refractories in our total basket of products?
What do you mean by high-end refractories? I think if you ask us, I think our product, all the products are high-end refractories.
All the high-end refractories. But if we compare our this quarter's performance vis-a-vis our peer, which is RJ Magnesita, so they have posted some fabulous set of numbers with a significant expansion in the operating margins. But where are we lagging for this quarter, sir?
I think I answered in my previous thing.
So if you can kindly come again, because I might have missed out or joined the call later.
We really don't know. As I mentioned, that they always had a slightly higher margin than ours. And they, if you look at one of the analysts' report, which has come up after their results, they have got some freight increase, freight surcharge increase booked in this quarter, a huge amount. I don't recollect what is the amount, and that could resulted in their higher margins. I really don't know. We don't know about what our competitor does. But going by the analyst report, it seems that they've got one-time income for other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sir, if I'm not wrong, so we import basically, 30% of our total refractory needs as on date, which is only 3,000 odd crores. So do you feel like going forward there's an opportunity in India, like we can shift on from that import to manufacturing in India as in Make in India theme?
Yes, I don't, but I, in our range of product, there is hardly any imports.
Okay. Got it, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Best of my side, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that they are advanced to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sangvi from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening to the management. My call is specifically to Mr. James McIntosh. Sir, I would like to just understand that you coming up as an MD for IFGL Refractory, what are the few areas where you would like to target, what are the few specific targets you have now that you take over operations? Specifically, if you can give some color on product-wise or customer-wise or technology-wise. So what are the few goals that you're looking for?
Yeah, I think at the moment, you know, we have a lot of discussions going on regarding the company and the future direction for the company. Obviously, in the domestic market for India, you know, IFGL's got a very proud position. I mean, we are one of the first refractory manufacturers in India, you know, now with the plants. You know, it's a very exciting situation to be in. You know, Kalunga being the main plant for IFGL, Kandla, you know, has really come on well since we started. And, you know, we've got, as you can see from the CapEx plans there, we'll get big plans for expansion in Kandla. Vijayapatnam, we are currently looking at, because it's a phased expansion, you know, we're currently looking at the next phase of expansion there and the next basket of products that we'd like to move into. You know, we hope to make the decisions on those product areas over the coming month and, you know, start to move forward in that. And then the phase three discussion has started also with regard to identifying the different market areas and the dynamics in the markets available for us. But one area that for sure, you know, in the company that we've already identified as, you know, the you know, maybe a move into, you know, higher technology products and what that would require for us to do as a company. I mean, IFGL has got a very sound business model. If we have a look at the structure of where IFGL fits in the technology scale, we could say that there's some possibility there for us to move up the scale a wee bit into higher performance products and higher profit products. And for that, you know, we're currently identifying the requirements for the company. And again, as I said earlier on, you know, in the coming months, we'll be able to announce these initiatives and programs once we've finalized them. But they're still going through management discussions at the moment.
Okay. Okay. Got it. And
but certainly for just to answer your question, I mean, if you keep your eyes for the next next meeting and also the next two meetings, you know, I would say that there's probably going to be further announcements in terms of new investments for the company.
Okay. Thank you so much. So my second question is related to the cash that we have in our balance sheet. So are we looking at some kind of acquisitions also, or do we also aim to, you know, give out more returns to our shareholders in terms of buybacks or more dividends? I mean, are we exploring those areas?
Yeah, I think that's definitely, it's a great question. And I mean, certainly for the company, it's one area that we are, we are discussing again at great length, because there are, for sure, I mean, it's always, an area for companies to determine, do we look at expanding our own operations, or do we look at acquisitions? And I would say that we have at the moment, you know, a group of people who are looking into, the expansion of the company, and for sure using the cash balance that we enjoy is something that is going to be certainly a very strong point for IFGL. I think if we look around in different market areas, we've already identified several areas that we could possibly move into. But again, these have to be discussed and finalized and analyzed through our own company before we announce any moves.
Okay. Thank you so much. That answers my question. All the best.
Cheers.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
Sir, if you could summarize what the discussion has already been, this could be treated as a one-off quarter wherein the margin blip for our business outside India will return to normalcy in the next quarter itself with the revision in the finished product prices. Is that assessment correct, sir?
So I think yes, in the quarter four we are looking at a normal situation.
Okay. And so coming to the margin profile, when we look at the margin profile for our businesses outside India, the Europe and the Americas, the profile is significantly lower than what we are doing for India. So what are the key reasons, sir, for these margins? And do the global players also have similar margins, the ones who are operating, competing with you in Europe and America? Are of the same margin profile, or if you could explain this, sir?
I think, you know, global players also will have a lower margin than what they have in India. If you look at their results compared to Indian results and the overseas results, you know, in the overseas market, they are impacted by the raw material costs are higher there. The ocean freight impact, as Managing Director mentioned, is also higher. One of the other impacts compared to India is, you know, their manpower costs is significantly higher than India. So overall, the margin will be different than India. Plus, there will be impact of a product. The margins also depend on product to product. As in our case, EI Ceramics has a better margin than the other foreign subsidiaries. So that also depends on product to product also. But in overall situation, I think all the overseas companies, if you look at the multinational companies, their overseas operations, the margins would be significantly lower than their results in India.
Right, sir. And sir, if we look at the capacity utilization levels, domestically and also in other geographies of the world, how for our company, how have they fared up for this quarter and for the 9 month average?
They're very similar to the last quarter.
In percentage terms, sir, can you quantify it for
ranging from company to company, product to product? We have various product range. You can say anywhere between 55% to 75-80%.
Okay, sir. Actually, sir, what my question was, sir, we find that there is a proportion of fixed cost and the variable cost. So at what levels are we going to see incremental margins flowing to our bottom line?
Difficult to answer that question. That's a very, very difficult question.
Okay, sir. And sir, looking at the demand scenario, especially for India, and also, sir, with I think so, two plants in one of the plants, I think so, NINL and also the Nagarnar and other plants are coming up, sir. Do these plants with 1 million and 3 million ton capacity create any buoyancy in the refractory market for the time being, since these are the new capacities?
Any new capacity addition will add to the refractory consumption.
Yes, sir. So,
they will definitely add to the refractory requirements. And we had been a supplier to NINL in the past before they closed down.
Just to get the sense, okay, so they're running at their full capacity. What kind of increased volumes do we expect from a 1 million ton plant running full throttle for the year?
So they require a lot of other refractories which we don't make. There are a lot of refractories. It's not that we can supply them all the refractories what they require. We can only supply them the flow control refractory what they require. That is what we were supplying, and in fact this plant has been running limping for last many years now, so never ran a full capacity as such. So I think we'll have to see when the plant comes to normalcy what kind of requirement comes up. And mind it, they also have a scope for expansion, and the reason why Tata has bought it, that they will use this facility to expand there also. It's not for 1 million. I think they are talking of much more there.
Yes, sir. And sir, currently, if we take the profile of our domestic business, is it feasible for you to quantify what percentage is from the Tata's?
I think Tata's would be somewhere around 10% of our domestic sales.
Correct.
I just give you a rough figure. Huh?
Yes, sir. I will take it in a ballpark number. Yeah. Correct, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll come and take you, and all the best, sir.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sarda for closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for participation. And it was a very good question and answer session. And I hope I've been able to answer most of your queries to your satisfaction. And thanks to our managing director for joining. And we look forward to all of your participation in the next call. For any queries, if you have, you may contact SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you all and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. McIntosh and Mr. Sarda. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of SKB Securities Limited, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us.